For your presence here. We fully recognize and affirm that we are smack dab in the middle of a spiritual moment right now. We know you are here. Your word promises that you are among us. We trust you and we take you at your word, Father. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father. Have your way for your glory, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, Father. I submit myself before you and ask, Lord, that you would just do whatever you need to, however it is that you need to do it. And we will give you glory for all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, okay, so what I want us to talk about first is, so again, we want to be able to identify how is it that we can actually take some steps toward this awareness of being spiritually fit. But before we can even get to what those steps are, there's a couple of things that we need to sort of define and clarify first. And that is the difference between steps toward spiritual health and those things that are actually classified as spiritual fruit, right? Here's why that's important, okay? So imagine with me here, and I'm going to kind of, I have these four different places I'm going to be standing as I go throughout this sermon here, so just realize that where I am matters. But just imagine that this is sort of point A, right? Point A is just, it's just us living life, right? It's just us doing whatever we do, however we do it, not even aware of what it is that God is doing all around us, right? And what we want to do is we want to be able to kind of get to point B, which is where we begin to have an awareness that God is at work around us, right? That he's doing stuff, right? And sometimes in a worship service like this, it's easier to go from point A to point B. The problem is that sometimes we hit those doors and then we go back to point A and we lose all of our awareness of what God is trying to do, right? But that's the first step is to get from A to B and just have this awareness that God is doing something in our lives. But we don't want to just be aware that God is there. We actually want to get to point C, which is that we actually submit to what God is wanting to do in our lives. Right? It's one thing to know that God is here and that he has things that he wants us to do. It's another thing altogether for us to actually do those things, right? So here I can say, yes, Lord, I see you. Here I'm saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you're leading me to do. Here I can be aware of God and still disobey him. Come on now. Here I have an awareness of God and I actually follow through on what it is that he's leading me to do, right? Now then, once I get to that point of submission to God and to what he would have me to do, this fourth point, or I guess to keep it straight here, point D, is that now I get to live in the spiritual fruit that God then produces in my life. Right? So here's why this is really important that we have this idea of sort of living life, acknowledging that God is here, submitting to what God is wanting me to do, and then living in the fruit, because many times we just want to go from living life to living fruit. Like, we're over here like, God, why don't I have more fruit in my life? Why don't I have more peace in my life? Why am I not able to love people? Why am I struggling with frustration and depression? Like, why is it that, why am I having all these spiritual problems and everything? I want to be able to live in the fruit of what you have for me. You promised through your word that you would produce this fruit in my life. Why am I struggling with self-control and temptation and all these kinds of things? And we're standing here wanting that, but not wanting the journey to get there. Right? And that's just not how God does stuff. Like, that's in order for us to live in the fruit that God has for us, which is, again, in let me just read this for you here. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, Paul is writing to the Galatian church, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So here's what I want you to hear. So the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit over here that is given to us, does not belong to us. This is really, really important for you to get. So I'm going to say that again. The fruit of the Spirit does not belong to us because it is the fruit of the Spirit. That means it belongs to the Spirit. Like, I wasn't very good at English, and you can tell by the way that I talk during a sermon and everything, but when that word of is possessive, what that means is the fruit belongs to the Spirit. The fruit belongs to God. We cannot generate love in and of ourselves, and I can prove it because each and every one of us have tried and failed. We can't produce peace on our own. And every single one of us know that to be a fact because we have tried and we have failed. But when we actually submit ourselves to God and His Holy Spirit, God produces this stuff inside of us, right? And so the fruit that is available to us is available by God. But even as we see there in verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions. In other words, what that means is like we can't stay here in position A and expect to get the fruit over there. We've got to crucify this in order to be able to get to that. The way that we crucify that is having an awareness of who God is and what he's trying to do in our lives, to actually submit ourselves to him, to put our old stuff away and live in the newness that Jesus died for us to have in order that we might be able to see that fruit produced in us, right? Whew, I better slow down a little bit. This is going to go too fast. Realize as well that, let me say it this way. Let me just take flu, for example. The flu virus will display symptoms so that we know that we are sick, right? Might get a fever, all kinds of different things. Spiritual health and spiritual fitness, as it will, as we're talking about this month, spiritual health will also display symptoms called fruit, right? And that fruit lets us know that we are healthy. It's a byproduct. It's a consequence. And so, but what we have to understand is that we cannot produce fruit on our own. Only God can do that. So, we know that we are spiritually fit. We know that we are aware of what God is doing, and we are submitting to God in such a way that we are actually seeing the fruit of God produced in our lives. When we see that fruit in us, that is a sign of spiritual health. But we can't stand over here all by ourselves as if God doesn't even exist and then complain about the fact that we don't have the fruit of God in our lives. If we want to have the fruit of God, like, that's great. I want you to want that. But you've got to work the process to get there. You've got to crucify the flesh. You've got to put the old stuff behind. You've got to submit to His way. And the byproduct of that spiritual health and those steps that we take, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute, will be the fruit that we desire so much. So what we want to do is we want to see God produce that fruit in our lives. But the real question is, like, how do we put ourselves in a position to do that? How do we put ourselves in a position to actually have this awareness and submission to God? What I want to do is flip over to Acts chapter 2. And these are a set of verses that I've actually preached from a couple of times over the last couple of years. But I think it's probably the most concise way that I can try to convey what it is that I think is helpful here. So when we're talking about again, we recognize we might be in a state where we're not entirely aware of what God is doing in our lives. We want to get to a place where we're living that God is producing fruit inside of us. So what are the steps that we have to take in order to get to that fruit? And I want to read for you Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And going down through verse 47, and then we're going to unpack this together. So again, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves, these are Jesus followers, after Jesus has ascended to be with the Father. So he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he rose to the Father. Now the believers are trying to start the church, right? Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Again, just to clarify, the apostles are those that walked with Jesus, right? So those are the 12 disciples in particular that are now the sent out ones. And so they are the apostles. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So first of all, this isn't even in my notes, but this is just, I think, a really important note to make here, is that even when it comes to that adding to their number daily, like particularly for pastors like myself, or and even just for church leaders in general, like sometimes we find ourselves like in this place where we're working hard and we're just trying to do our best, and we may or may not actually be aware of what God is trying to do, but we want to get to the point where like we're adding to our number daily. Like, come on, Lord, pour in all the people and make the church full and make me feel like I'm a really good leader because of all the people that are sitting out there listening to me, when the reality is I'm still over here trying to do my own thing instead of actually submitting to what God is trying to do, right? That's my own little issue that the Lord is working on. I just wanted to share that with you in full disclosure. Anyway, the first step that I want us to recognize, though, in these verses, even going back to verse 42, and it's really an implied step, and that is, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. What isn't said in there is that whatever it was they devoted themselves to before that, they had to stop, right? They couldn't be devoted to the same stuff. They had to stop, right? There had to be a point where they stopped doing some stuff in order to make room for other stuff, right? Whatever the stuff is. And this is something the Lord has really been speaking into my life, even just very, very recently here. And that is that not only even in terms of habits, which are a big thing, like maybe there are some habits that are in your life that you just need to stop in order to make room for some new habits, of which we'll talk about some of those here in just a moment. But even just in a moment, right? Like maybe, like I've joked around before about how holy I am when I'm driving around Houston, and all you crazy drivers out there cutting in front of me and everything like that. But what I have to recognize is in the midst of me losing my mind because the fourth person just cut me off again, right? I have to find some way to be able to just stop. Not the car necessarily. Don't cause a traffic jam. Let me be clear. That's probably a bad illustration now I think about it. But you get what I'm saying here, right? But you gotta be able to stop. In fact, this is kind of funny. I was sharing with my community group just last night that I think it was on Friday. I was going to pick up the kids, and I had gotten out just like a couple of minutes later than I normally do, and so I was feeling a little rushed anyway. And I'm trying not to put this on the Lord, but it probably was Him. And I bet I hit every red light between here and Rose Hill Christian School, like the whole way, right? And about the third one. I'm telling your pastor. About the third one, I literally held up my fist like to the light, as if the light has some sort of personal vendetta against my life, right? Like, gotta be kidding me, right? And it was in that moment that I literally thought about our fit challenge for this week. And one of them was breathe deeply 3 times in a week. And I was like, ooh, I'm across one of those off the list right now. Yes, I am, right? Whew, I started breathing with all my heart. Oh, my goodness. Came back to life there. But that breath, in all seriousness, though, that deep breathing in that particular case was a way for me to just stop, right? Stop, like, interrupt the frustration, interrupt the inaccurate thinking that traffic lights are somehow against you personally, right? Realize that it's probably God who's doing it anyway, right? But seriously, like I just had to find a way to stop. And I think that is a really important sort of implied step here in these verses here in Acts chapter 2 is whatever it is we're in the midst of that is keeping us distracted, we got to find a way to interrupt that. We have to find a way to stop that before we can even get into the other steps. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So The next thing that we see here then in in all of these verses here is the importance of Bible study, right? And here it actually refers to the apostles' teaching, but that's really what it was. That was their way of doing Bible study together. And in this, they were doing Bible study in a couple of different ways. One, they were teaching by teaching, right? Which sounds sort of odd. Let me explain what I mean there. It's like for example, like I could get up and like even like what I'm doing right now, hopefully, is like I'm trying, I have the Bible in front of me. I'm trying to teach about the Bible with the Bible, right? I'm teaching by teaching, right? In sort of a formal sort of way. However, the apostles here, let me just say too, that teaching by teaching, really what that was doing was building awareness. Right, so you had followers of people who had said, "I'm going to follow Jesus," who were following after the apostles in that teaching there. And in the apostles' teaching, what they were doing is they were building an awareness in all of the people as they're like, "Hey, this is how Jesus did stuff, and so you need to be aware. Like, this is how he does stuff, right?" And so in their teaching, they were able to build that awareness, but they also taught by example. Right? And so that's where we see like they're talking about the miracles that were done and even the way that they were giving to one another and they had all things in common, like they were actually living out what they were talking about. So they were not only building awareness that like, hey, this is the theory of what it's supposed to look like when you follow Jesus, but they were also showing what it looked like to submit themselves to Jesus. Right? And so Bible study, even as important as it was for the early church, I think it's really, really important for us as well, and important not only for us to do like on a Sunday morning as we're going through a scripture like this, but really important for us to do individually. It's that Bible study that will help build our awareness, and it's also the Bible study that will help move us into submission to who God is and what he would have us to do in our lives, all right? I'm going to move on here to this next one. And that is that we also see in Acts chapter 2 here the importance of worship together, right? It talks about them praying together and praising and singing. And really what worship is humbling yourself and exalting God. That is worship. It's making yourself low, not thinking low of yourself. Let me clarify that. But it's making yourself low and making him big. It's exalting him. It's putting him above everything else. That is what we do when we worship. And worship is this outward submission to God, but it's also a reminder of what God is doing in and around us. One of the things that I'm captivated by, particularly as you go through like all kinds of different psalms and that kind of stuff, what David, who wrote a lot of the psalms, although not all of them, one of the things that we find there is as he's writing these things and as he's praising God in these ways, not only is he praising God, but he's also reminding himself of who God is in that praise, right? And so this is what's so amazing about this. So again, David, who finds himself in a really difficult situation, who is singing these psalms to God, is reminding himself of the awareness of who God is, so that even in the midst of this difficult situation, he's focused on how God is, and that is actually empowering him to stay submitted to God in the midst of the hard time in order that he might get the victory that God has promised him already. See, we see David going through hard times and then we see, oh, he's got this victory. We don't realize that he is also building his awareness and his submission in order to get to that place of victory. If we're going to have that as well, worship is a big part of that, right? And again, it's really important we recognize that worship is not just what we do on a Sunday morning, but worship is what you do even at home and in your car and with your kids and at your workplace and all those kinds of things. Like there's a personal way to worship as well, and a big part of that is prayer. I cannot overemphasize this, right? Prayer is such an important part of worship for your life and for the people around you. When we pray, we are not only declaring our submission to God by faith, but we are also reinforcing the truth of who God is in our lives. So again, in our prayer, we are building that awareness that God is real in this moment. Yes, I'm having this hard time. I got that bad medical report. I got this frustration with this person. I got this issue in my life. But I'm going to pray because as I'm praying, I'm reminding myself that this is who God is. I'm building this awareness that even in my difficulty, God is right here, right now. And as I'm praying, I'm submitting myself to God's will. It is not my will, it's His will. In my prayer, I am exclaiming my faith to Him in order that He might produce the fruit that I am desiring in my life. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? But that only happens when we recognize that everything is spiritual. So that when we get that crazy report from the doctor, we know that we don't have to lose our minds. But really what we can do is we can go to God in prayer. We can reinforce the fact that God is present even in this, and we can submit to Him all over again in order that we might be able to see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. This is also where I think environments like our community groups are so important. Because prayer is not just what you can do for yourself, but we also have the opportunity to intercede on behalf of other people in our prayers, right? I believe very strongly in what's referred to as intercessory prayer. And what that means is, watch this now, because this is going to be a little confusing. So I see the life of someone else, and I see that they are struggling without an awareness of God, and maybe even without a submission to God in whatever that situation is. I, in my faith, have an awareness that God is present in their lives, and I am submitting my faith to God on their behalf. Does that make sense? You follow me here? So they're still at point A. I'm over here at point C. And I've acknowledged that God is present in it. I'm submitting my faith to Him on their behalf so that when I get over here, the fruit that I'm asking for doesn't come to me. It goes to them. And so I'm interceding to say, God, I believe, I recognize You. I believe You. When that fruit comes to me, won't You pass it their way in order that when they see that fruit, they might recognize that You're here, in order that they might submit themselves to You, in order that they might get their own fruit inside of all of this. Like, that is the importance of prayer and intercessory prayer. That is why being a part of a community group is so important. Like, it's not, hear me very clearly in this, it is not just so that I can say, oh, well, look at community groups are building and they're getting bigger and it's great and that means that I'm a great leader or anything. It doesn't mean any of that at all. It means that you have people that get to walk with you and pray for you so that when you're stuck at point A and they're living at point D, you might be able to find a way out of your mess and get to the fruit that God has for your life. Shoot, I'm gonna need a towel today. My goodness. Let me go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up here. Many times we find ourselves here at point A, right? And in that, at that point, let's make no mistake that getting from point A to point B, just being in our stuff and getting to a point where we recognize that God is here, that is a spiritual experience. I need you to see that. The move from here to here is a tremendously spiritual encounter, right? And to be able to do that, like, I don't even have time to talk about the attack of the enemy to try to steal, kill, and destroy our focus on Jesus and what He's trying to do in our lives. That's a whole nother sermon series right there, right? But we have to recognize that moving from here to here is a spiritual experience. And even getting from the point of awareness to the point of submission, that is a spiritual experience in our mind. So if you didn't hear last week, you probably want to go back and pick up that sermon too. But that is a spiritual exercise, even to just get from here to here. The devil doesn't care what you know about God as long as you don't do anything about it. And so your awareness of God is wonderful. It is so much better than being in your mess and having no awareness of God. But being right here doesn't scare the devil at all. But when you start submitting your life to him, well, now all of a sudden God can produce some fruit in that. And the devil will be defeated in that. And the good news is he already is. He already is. The fruit of God's Holy Spirit is available to you right here, right now. And I just want to know what step you're going to take to get it. Where are you on this continuum here? Where are you? Like, what steps are you going to take to get to the fruit? This week with the Fit Challenge card, and if you haven't picked up a Fit Challenge card yet, they're on the table right outside. You can pick one up on your way out. You can even get, I got to be honest, these are really awesome wristbands. Mainly because I was the one who made them. But it's a great reminder of the fact that everything that we're doing is spiritual. You can pick one of those up as well. Like, some of the challenges that are on the Fit card for this week are things as simple as just, like, pray, right? Share a testimony. It doesn't even have to be about how you got saved. It could just be just something you've seen God do in your life, right? Serve at the HFC Workday. That's coming up this Saturday, by the way. Naomi will probably talk about that more in just a minute. And read your Bible, right? Like, these are not, this is not rocket surgery here, right? This is just some basic stuff. But I'm telling you, all of these things can help you get from here to here to here to the fruit that we really, really want to see in our lives. What is the step that you're going to take today to get to the fruit that you want to see in your life? And there's one other thing I want to ask you, and that is, who's stuck over here that needs you to be praying for them? Who's stuck? And they need your fruit to help unstuck them. We're going to sing a couple of songs here, and as we do, I want to invite you. You can come to altars of prayer here. There's our prayer room. I don't think we turn the lights on, so you might want to do that when you get in there. You can even just pray right at your chairs where you are, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. Maybe there's a step you know that God is telling you you need to take. And I want you to commit that to God today. Lord, I've heard your voice. I'm aware. Let me stand in the right spot. I'm aware, God, that you have spoken to me, that you have challenged me. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. It's a big step from here to here. It's a issue. It's not as big of a step as getting from here to here, because when the fruit comes, it's like, Lord, why have I been doing this all my life? But if you hear the voice of God today, don't just settle for hearing him. Submit to him and say yes to him. Maybe there's somebody that needs you to intercede on their behalf even now. As we sing these songs, I want to invite you to come to pray in order that we might see the fruit that God desires for us. Stand with me, please. Let's continue to worship him.